And welcome to online worship with us as part of the family who are St. Stephen's. I want to welcome you all here and let you know I'm not usually the person that starts the service. It's usually Fiona, but Fiona is taking a little bit of time off this week. And we have somebody else stepping in to worship lead for us today. Her name is Greta. She's a lovely young woman, very gifted. And she has been a longtime member of the St. Stephen's family. So we are delighted for her to have an opportunity to share her leadership gifts in this way with us today. Thank you, Greta.
Hello, St. Stephen's family. Welcome to this online worship service. I'm Greta Christie, Fiona's daughter, and I'm part of this fellowship. Fiona is a little off color this week, so I am here to serve you and to worship today. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let's join together in the call of worship. The Spirit of God calls us from many places. Some of us have come from busy homes with many people. Some of us live alone. We are a part of the family. This week has been different for each of us. Some of us have had happy news we want to celebrate. Some of us have faced grief and need to cry. We are members of God's family. Yet we all come to the same place, all of us seeking God's presence in our lives, all of us seeking God's presence with each other. Together, we become God's family. If you have a habit of lighting a candle as you prepare for worship, let's do that together, remembering that Jesus is the light of the world. Let's pray together. Lord of life, we come into your presence today with grateful hearts, that in your grace you bless us with guidance and direction through your Holy Spirit. You gather us in community to show and be shown your love and acceptance. For this community of faith and all those around the world, we give you praise and glory that we may find oneness in you. Pour out your Spirit on us again, we pray, to encourage our faith journey, giving us confidence and courage to follow you with love, mercy, and grace. We ask in the nurturing name of Jesus. Amen. As we approach God's throne of grace, let's confess together. Holy God, we ask for your help, your power, your Spirit, so that we can amend our lives and grow more each day into the image of Christ. We confess that we fear what is different. We confess that it's easier to lock the doors of our community than to receive those who don't look like we look, love like we love, or vote the way we vote. We confess that we have not lived out your call to share in abundant life and unconditional love. We believe that you have the power to turn us around to a more inclusive way of living. So we ask you to do that. We ask you to give us the courage to change. We ask that you give us the energy, intelligence, imagination, and love to be your people in all we say and do. Amen.
Friends, this is the good news that we have to share. God leads us out of the shadows to walk in the light of Christ. This is the word we have heard. Our faithful God forgives our sins and raises us to new life. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is from the first chapter of Acts, reading verses 15 to 17 and 21 to 26. And I'm reading from the Living Bible. This prayer meeting went on for several days. During this time, on a day when about 120 people were present, Peter stood up and addressed them as follows. Brothers, it is necessary for the scriptures to come true concerning Judas, who betrayed Jesus by guiding the mob to him, for this was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit, speaking through King David. Judas was one of us, chosen to be an apostle, just as we were. And verses 21, so now we must choose someone else to take Judas's place and to join us as witnesses of Christ's resurrection. Let us select someone who has been with us constantly from our first association with the Lord, from the time he was baptized by John until the day after he was taken from us into heaven. The assembly nominated two men, Joseph Justus, also called Barsabbas, and Matthias. They all prayed for the right man to be chosen. O Lord, they said, you know what every heart, show us. You know every heart, show us which of these men you have chosen as an apostle to replace Judas the traitor, who has gone up to his proper place. When they drew straws, and this member Matthias was chosen and became an apostle with all of the other 11. This is the word of the Lord.
We are in the midst of a number of sermons on stories from the book of Acts, and we're exploring the ways that these stories teach us about how to live in the way of the Spirit. Our last two sermons were wonderful examples of how the disciples, who by that time were actually apostles, how they were growing in this, learning how to recognize and to follow the nudges the Holy Spirit was giving them. Even more, they were learning through firsthand experience how these nudges weren't just a nice, helpful add-on to the mission Jesus had left them with, but rather were the way that God was revealing that mission to them. As they went, the Holy Spirit was actually giving them the next steps to take. Today, we have gone back in time from where we were last week. We're at the point where Jesus had just ascended. And all of what we've heard in today's reading happened sometime in the 10 days that came between Jesus' ascension and the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened at Pentecost. So this was really early days. But there was still this rapidly growing group of believers. And it's likely that the need for some leadership was becoming apparent. Peter stood amongst them all and announced that it was time for them to appoint a replacement for Judas Iscariot. There was a psalm that had actually foretold that there would be someone who would be chosen to take Judas's place. And Peter explained that it needed to be someone who had been with them since the beginning and someone who had seen the risen Christ. Two names were proposed, and everyone prayed for God to show them which of the two men he was calling. After praying, they cast lots. which was kind of the ancient world's equivalent of tossing a coin or drawing straws. And the lots revealed that Matthias was chosen. Now, knowing what happened before this, and knowing what was actually yet to come, we can see that at this point, the community of Jesus' followers was in a time of significant transition. Jesus had ascended, so he wasn't really with them anymore, not physically in the way that they had become accustomed to. He had told them to remain in Jerusalem, to wait for the Holy Spirit, who would come to bring a whole new experience of God's love and God's power. But that hadn't happened yet. So they were between this old way of operating and a new one that was still coming. And at this point, it was becoming clear that with Jesus gone, the leadership of this growing community of people needed to happen in a new way. Well, as we heard in our last two sermons, eventually the Holy Spirit would actually direct the apostles through things like visions and angelic visitations. But at this point, those things hadn't really started to happen yet. So they were still working out how to faithfully follow when they didn't have Jesus standing there telling them what to do. And that, I think, is actually one of the things that is so interesting about this story. There are times when we may be graced with visions or words from God, but in my 22 years at this, I've seen that those things generally do not happen every day. They do come, thank the Lord that they do, but we actually spend much of our time employing less spectacular ways to discern the next steps that God is calling us to. So it would seem to me that we actually might be able to identify with Peter and these folks as they tried to figure out on this day what to do next. Luke has given us a fairly sparse recounting of this story. And while it does have much to teach us, a bunch of that actually comes through the questions that it raises. Questions like, why did they think they needed to actually fill the spot that was vacated by Judas? And how did they decide what they were looking for in a candidate? How did they actually discern that Matthias was the one that God had chosen? And perhaps most pointedly, did they actually get it right? Today we're going to explore those questions, listening for what they can teach us about this life in the way of the Spirit that is so important for the community of Jesus' followers. So, first question, why did they think they needed to fill that spot vacated by Judas? And how did they decide what they were looking for in someone to fill it? Well, there was that psalm that had said that they would fill it, but I also suspect that they probably felt fairly compelled to carry on with a core group of 12 apostles simply because that was actually the leadership model that Jesus had set up for them. Fairly early on in his time with them, he had prayerfully placed his authority into the hands of those original 12 men, and he had appointed them to be apostles. So it probably made sense that in the absence of God indicating that they should change that model, the wisest course was actually to carry on as Jesus had shown them. And frankly, that's not a bad way to go. In the absence of leading to the contrary, continuing on in the way that Jesus has led you to this point is a good idea. And that's really our first lesson for today. When you haven't been told otherwise, carry on in the way Jesus has led you. Now, during the 40 days or so since Jesus' resurrection, the disciples had begun to get clear about what they were actually being called to do. All of those things that Jesus had said to them about being sent beyond Jerusalem, sent out, sent to all the nations, they started to make sense. They were apostles, which means that God was sending them out to tell people about Jesus' life, about all that he had taught and showed them, and about his death and resurrection. So whoever was chosen to fill that spot Judas had left, well, they needed to be equipped to do all of that. It needed to be someone who had been with them since the beginning, experiencing all of what they had experienced, so that that person could be a credible witness of the things that Jesus had done and taught. Even more, it had to be someone who had actually seen the risen Christ for themselves, so that they could truly testify that he had really risen to life again. I'm sure that as the apostles looked back over all they had learned in those 3 years, they probably began to realize that Jesus had been preparing them for exactly this. And that's lesson two for us. Looking back can help us to realize that God has been getting us ready for what is coming. And that's a very comforting thing. Now let's think about how they actually discerned that Matthias was the one that God had chosen, and why they did that discernment by casting lots. Well, since the days of Moses, casting lots had actually been a common way of making decisions, especially decisions in which you were trying to determine and then follow God's will. There's actually a proverb in Proverbs 16 that says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." In time, the apostles would learn how to hear from God directly. But at this point, casting lots likely made sense to them. If you listened carefully to the reading, you will have caught, though, that they didn't just cast lots. Luke tells us that before they actually cast the lots, they all prayed. As a community, they submitted it all to God and asked him to make his choice known. So if you think about it, casting lots was actually an act of faith, because they were trusting that it was God who was going to determine the outcome, that it wasn't just chance. So they used this decision-making method that they knew, but they did it prayerfully, submitting the choice to God. And they did it in community. And all of that is another lesson for us today. We discern God's leading in the ways that we're able to, prayerfully and together, not off on our own somewhere. These are good lessons. In many ways, I think that to this point, those have been really the easier questions to answer. It's that final question that's tougher. When they picked Matthias, did they actually get it right? It turns out that a lot has been made of this, and opinions are fairly divided on it. Some people think they did get it right, and others think not. The argument of those who think that they didn't says that they don't think they got it right because Matthias doesn't actually ever show up again in the biblical story. I think the implication of that is that it must prove that he turned out to be a bit of a dud. Well, honestly, I don't buy it. Mostly because there were also six other of the apostles, six of the 12, who didn't get another mention either. We don't hear anything more about Andrew, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, or Matthias. And I'm pretty sure that isn't because none of them had any particular role to play in establishing the church and living out Jesus' commission to them. They did. Matthew wrote a gospel, for goodness sakes. But for some reason, Luke didn't feel led to tell their stories. And so back to the question, when they picked Matthias, did they get it right? Well, we don't actually have any reason to think that they didn't. And really, even more than picking the right man, I think they got it right in a much, much more important way. They got it right simply because they had this sense that they were supposed to pick someone, and they did that. They followed it. They did their best. They applied what they knew from what Jesus had taught them. They submitted their decision to God together as a community. And then they trusted that God would work through their choice. They had the courage to do what they could, to move ahead and to try. A courage that wasn't rooted in their confidence about their own abilities. A courage that was rooted in their absolute confidence in who God is and what God's capable of doing. And I think that that may actually be the most important lesson for us from this whole story. So often we are hesitant to take steps as we try to follow Jesus. We aren't sure if it's the right step, or we don't feel like we can actually do it. We're worried that we might get it wrong or we might fail. But these early days from the apostles teach us that we really needn't be concerned about any of those things. We can find the same kind of courage that they found because we are following the very same God. And whether they got it right when they chose Matthias or not, they trusted that even their mistakes would not be able to derail God's plans. Well, ours can't either, friends. So as we learn how to live in this way of the Spirit, following the nudges that the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, we are wise to remember that we aren't actually big enough to get in the way of what the Spirit is doing. We aren't perfect, and God doesn't need us to be, because He is quite capable of working around our imperfections, and even sometimes of working with our imperfections. Thanks be to Him. Amen.
Vision, and then clear their eyes.
Friends, let's pray together. Gracious, eternal God, we thank you for all that life holds, its joys and its challenges. And we thank you for your promise to be with us through it all. We begin by praying for our community of faith. Thank you for your presence and your leading. Like the early disciples, help us in our common life to faithfully follow your Spirit's leading. Help us to approach our decisions, seeking your guidance through prayer, to focus on the common good, and to come together in unity in our service, in our fellowship, and in our worship. Lead us forward and help us to create a community where love, acceptance, and mutuality are expressed, where joy abounds, and where results are achieved because we are all working hand in hand together with each other and with you. May it be said of us as it was said of old, see how those Christians love one another. God, we also ask that you would save us from moving inward to escape from this world you've called us to. Help us to see the world and its needs, and lead us to pray now for the world and those around us with prayers that are reflective of your heart. We pray for the world to know peace, for all wars to end, and for reconciliation and renewal to take root in the people and places that have been torn apart by them. We pray for our country and our leaders, that we would remain grateful for all of the blessings you shower on us, that we would devote ourselves to making this country a place of peace and well-being for all, and that we would care for the beautiful part of your creation that is Canada. We pray for our First Nations neighbors near and far, that the ongoing work of reconciliation would make tangible progress, and that the efforts to be made now would really bring healing to those who are still in so much pain. We pray for our neighbors who struggle with financial hardship, lack of adequate housing or food, illness in all of its forms, or social isolation. Be with them, God. Be with them directly and bring your love to them through us or others. Bring them hope and strength and peace, and make tomorrow a better day. We pray for our loved ones who are struggling. We pray for families who are enduring strained relationships. We pray for those who are sick, for those who are nearing the end of their lives, and for those who are grieving. Be with them all, bringing healing, a sense of your presence with them, and the comfort Jesus promises. God, we lift all of these precious people to you, trusting in your love for each and every one, and praying together as Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to thank you for all of the ways you have given to the life and work of St. Stephen's here in our local community and in the world. Let's pray together now to dedicate all of these gifts to God's purposes. Lord, we love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us that we might have life eternal. We bring these offerings as an expression of our love for you and pray that they may be used to make your love known to your children everywhere. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. It's been a while since I've brought you a board report, and not because the board hasn't been active, because it's been very active, but because there's really been nothing urgent since the annual meeting back in February to report. But exciting and interesting things are happening here at St. Stephen's. So let me start with, there's lots of great God stuff going on around here, and St. Stephen's is always involved in that kind of stuff. One that I'd like to bring to your attention, though, is that Stanford Place in Parksville has heard about the weekly services that are being held at the gardens using our online service, and they want to start a group up to do the same thing and join us in worship every Sunday morning. So we're very happy about that and very happy to share the online service with them and welcome them to our services here at St. Stephen's. It seems that everybody is having trouble finding volunteers for the various bits of work that need to be done to support the adults and the youth here in Oceanside. So Andy Gilman and I got together with representatives from SOS and Hospice to start planning a volunteer fair for this mid-September. Will take place here right in our hall. We're reaching out to newcomers groups and others in the community to see if we can create a greater awareness of the opportunities to volunteer. Volunteers make others feel great, make their lives better, and they gain a great deal of satisfaction from just giving back to the community. St. Stephen's is part of the United Church of Canada, as you're well aware, and there's recently been a remit, which Diana's talked about, with a question, which is a question from the National Church that all churches need to vote on and respond to. This one was around the First Nations churches, which are part of the United Church of Canada, and their ability to manage the types of services that they wish to hold within the faith that is driven the same as ours is in following Jesus Christ. And that remit, I'm happy to say, passed very strongly across the country, and your board here at St. Stephen's voted in favor of it. You'll be happy to know that, I'm sure you'll be happy to know this, with a lot of support from your board members and others, Susan Lee, led us through a process of bringing up to date our policies and procedures manual, a manual that hadn't been updated for a while. And because of changes in this church needed to be updated, the big things were pieces like adding the online service to our complement of service offerings, the change of communications committee to the spiritual leadership team, the removal of the finance responsibility from the resource management group and the creation of a finance and stewardship leadership team. All of those kinds of things required us to update our policies and procedures manual. And let me tell you, it's wonderful reading. And if anybody wants to go through it, that will be available soon online so that you can actually read through it. It's about 25 pages, so good for a couple of evenings going to sleep, and you're more than welcome to peruse that at your leisure. A big thank you, I should say, to Susan Lee and to Adele and to Diane for all of the input that they had into that, along with the other board members. One other new item that I would like to give you a heads up on is the work that's underway at St. Stephen's to host a series of workshops on preparing to be a caregiver. A small group has been working on this for a couple of years and have found this to be very helpful, interesting, challenging, and fun, believe it or not, as they meet to talk about all the steps they can take to prepare to be a caregiver. Now, you might think that I'm going to be the one getting care, so I don't need to do it. This isn't true. Everybody needs to be aware of what it takes to be a caregiver and how you wish to be cared for if, in fact, you end up in care. This is an important topic and one that Andy and I will be developing with one of my friends and a number of professionals and to bring you a series of workshops in the Oceanside community, working out with the newcomers group again, and here offering it at St. Stephen's. Again, we'll be working with the newcomers group. Stay tuned for information on 3 or 4 workshops to take place this fall. Oh yeah, and how about the finances? The budget we brought forward at the annual meeting at the end of February was showing a deficit, and that's still the case. It was also based on a 10% increase in PAR and envelope givings. So if you haven't had a chance to keep your PAR up to date with inflation or a bit more, there's still time to do so. It's easy and private. just check with the office and they'll help you make sure that that gets done. Our finances are in good order, and with the help of two recent bequests, we are certain that we'll be making our staff salary payments and keeping the lights on here at the church. Updating your PAR goes a long way to helping us keep the ministries that St. Stephen's is so widely known for up and running. The last piece I want to update you on is the St. Stephen's United Church Foundation. We spoke about that briefly at the annual meeting. We have just signed an agreement with the United Church of Canada Foundation to have them manage the St. Stephen's United Church Foundation. We're planning on a stewardship Sunday to talk to you about stewardship and what it means to be a good steward of the talents God has shared with you over your lifetime. The foundation completes the financial tools that St. Stephen's has to enable you to share God's gifts to you with God's work that happens here at St. Stephen's United Church for a long time to come. More to come on this, but if you want to talk, please don't hesitate to talk to me or to Diane, and we'll make sure to find time to speak to you about the foundation's possibilities. And that's it. Enjoy the great weather. Thank you.
Friends, go now as God's chosen witnesses to testify that Christ has been raised and we are raised with him. And as you go, may God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may God look upon you with kindness and grant you his peace. Amen.
call upon your name. Keep my eyes above the waves. My soul will rest in your embrace.